This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 and this is the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. Not everyone that we think of as being vaccine hesitant is actually an anti-vaxxer. And I think increasingly, with very strong opinions being expressed on both sides, these two things are getting mixed up and a lot of strong opinions are being thrown at people. The thing is, understanding why people are vaccine hesitant might actually help with our vaccination efforts. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. The difference between perhaps having challenges with the COVID-19 vaccine versus in general being an anti-vaxxer.
Because I think it's very difficult, right, to have this conversation at the moment. I think it's a tricky one to navigate simply because, I think that the premise of being an anti-vaxxer or being thought of as an anti-vaxxer, as opposed to somebody who just has general hesitations about this particular vaccine, have meant that the way in which we speak to one another has also become quite odd. And I think that this is something that we're seeing locally, although the thing that we're using as the jumping off point for our show today is an article in The Atlantic, which understandably looks at the United States. So there, one in four Americans don't plan to get vaccinated, especially with those numbers decreasing in the last few weeks. And they've been defined, or rather, the writer of the article essentially asked for people to get in touch with them to explain why it is that they might be feeling this way. And through that, through those conversations, they started to realize that actually it wasn't about anti-vaxxing. It was instead about COVID-19 no-vaxxers. So that is the phrase that's been coined here. And it's people who are hesitant or worried about the COVID-19 vaccine specifically, not against all vaccines. And there are a variety of reasons for why they feel this way.
Yes. So in that American context, there are several things that came up in this research / interview that the writer did. Some include things like they trust their own immune system to protect them, especially if they'd already been infected with COVID-19. Or they were people who generally didn't think that this would affect them because it hadn't affected them or anyone they knew. Others, which is something that I think is relatable to a lot of people, were afraid of the long-term side effects caused by the vaccine, especially given that there hasn't been long-term studies possible just yet. And they talked about things like not being able to sue the government or the pharmaceutical companies if these effects were to happen. People who are younger, who are under the age of 15, don't quite consider COVID-19 as big a threat to them and therefore don't think that they need to get vaccinated. And finally, there is a sort of very authority-related context as well, because a lot of people who are hesitant often feel like the government hasn't necessarily served them well, that their rights were being impinged on. And so I think this variety, it's a sort of interesting mix of things. And if we look closer to home, I think that we'll find similar reasons for different people to be, again, vaccine hesitant about this particular vaccine rather than perhaps anti-science or anti-vax, which is something that's been throwing around or people are being accused of.
And this is definitely something that at least I've been seeing in my personal life because of the AstraZeneca vaccine and the registration. I think it's been top of mind for a lot of people, and it's not been uncommon for people now to start conversations and replace the "have you eaten" with the "hey, so did you sign up?" I don't think it's going to last, but for at least this week, that's definitely been the vibe I've been getting in catching up with friends and the like. And so I think that because of that, you do find that there are people who have chosen not to get vaccinated or who haven't yet registered and feel somewhat ashamed almost of talking about it when there's really no reason for that. I mean, ultimately, this is all about making decisions for our own health, our own bodies, as well as collectively, right? Because taking the vaccine is seen as a societal responsibility. But nonetheless, I think that the reasons for it, it starts to get very difficult for people to actually express because they're so worried of being met with the reaction of, oh, you're an anti-vaxxer, or, oh, is that what you believe? When instead, it could be a number of things. It could be being inundated with too much information and just sort of feeling like it's all too much. I can't understand it. I'll just wait it out. It could be a matter of simply not feeling as if the science right now or the communication that they've been getting has been sufficient. So I think if we don't give room for people to talk about this, then we're never really going to be able to reach a whole group of people who may, who will be further, I think, pushed aside by this painting of them as anti-vaxxers.
And that's exactly why that's important, right? We need to reach more people and we need to make sure that people get the right information. So, and as we are sort of working on our own vaccine rollout and struggling with people getting uptake, really, and signing on to the program, I think this is why it's important that we keep in mind that different people may have different reasons why they're hesitant and not necessarily lump them all into being part of a fringe group or people who don't understand science, because no one likes being talked down to. No one likes being made to feel like they're asking silly questions. And often they're not. Often that inundation of information is a real thing, which I personally feel takes me a lot of time to get through and understand as well. So what we're talking about today is this question of vaccine hesitancy versus straight up not supporting vaccinations in general. And we want to know whether you've been hesitant about the COVID-19 vaccine. And if so, why? We'd love to hear from you. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we'll be speaking to Dr. Haryati Sharima Abdul-Majid, who is a health psychologist with Mercy Malaysia. So keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians. BFM 89.9.
It is just coming up to 5:16. You're listening to The Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're talking about the difference between vaccine hesitancy and anti-vaxxing. And I'm having so much trouble saying that word, anti-vaxxing. And why the way we talk about these feelings and these opinions matter. And so we want to hear from you. Have you been hesitant about taking the COVID-19 vaccine? And if so, why? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us to explain this, the difference between being hesitant versus being anti, we have Dr. Haryati Sharima Abdul-Majid, who is a health psychologist with Mercy Malaysia. Dr. Harry, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you, Sharmila and Lynn. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with this article that sort of sparked this conversation, right? So In the article, they draw a distinction between people who are anti-vax in general and those who have doubts about these specific COVID-19 vaccines. Have you seen the same set of concerns here in Malaysia?
Okay, thank you, Sharma, for that question. Now, this is not based on data that I have, but I think we can expect to see similar patterns here among Malaysians. And yes, I have observed them in the work that I do. And I think it's very important that we make a distinction between people who are vaccine hesitant, vaccine resistant, and anti-vaccines. Yeah, we should not place people who are vaccine hesitant or people who are not ready to be vaccinated with those who already hold really extreme views regarding vaccination, people who are highly resistant to being vaccinated and anything that has to do with vaccination. You know, people who are vaccine hesitant are people who may know about the benefits of being vaccinated, but they may not be ready yet to be vaccinated for reasons that are known to themselves. All right. So different people have different levels of readiness. Some are willing to be vaccinated. Some people are willing, but they do not know the benefits of. Some people are willing and they are able to go for vaccination, but they're not ready to be vaccinated. So we need to actually be able to assess these levels of what we call readiness to be vaccinated. And usually people who are vaccine hesitant come under these categories. So in other words,
in other words, you were saying?
In other words, people who are anti-vaxxers already have extreme views about vaccination. So whatever it is that you tell them about vaccination, if you don't use specific techniques in communicating with them, they are very less likely. They're not likely to actually process the reasons why they need to go for vaccination. But people who are vaccine hesitant, they can, I think, still be influenced, or negotiation or motivating them can still take place.
So with that then, do you think that enough effort has actually been made to speak to or listen to people who have doubts specifically about the COVID-19 vaccine, who are hesitant about this vaccine?
Oh, I think it's a very interesting question. I think listening is a skill that many Malaysians need to still improve on, still to work on. I think what has happened, or is happening, at least based on my personal observation, is that the messages that we have given to the masses have been pretty one-sided. I think I may not have every knowledge about what has been done outside there, but I believe that not enough yet has been done to reach out to people at different levels in the community, for instance, on their perceptions, on their attitudes, on their fears, on their worries about vaccination. We assume a lot of things about what people think and how people think, how people feel, and the reasons why they behave the way they do. You know, so people who say, oh, tanaklah register lagi, I don't want to be vaccinated. So we immediately may assume that they are anti-vaccines, but they may have their own fears. They may actually have had bad experiences that are associated with being vaccinated before, not necessarily COVID-19. You know, have had adverse side effects that they've had to live with, or they know someone who has, experienced more dire consequences, serious consequences from being vaccinated. So have we really listened to all levels of individuals in the community? I do not believe that we have, especially among, I think there was a report yesterday that people in Kuala Pilah, I think about, quite a number of them who had registered but did not turn up for vaccination. And many of them said, they say that there's no transportation, or they're not ready, or they changed their mind at the last minute. But these are people who actually are on the fence and could have gone for vaccination if we had engaged and listened to their psychological, worries and fears and concerns more.
So what would you say are some of the most common reasons here for people to be hesitant about the COVID-19 vaccines?
All right. I think, as at the end of the day, I think many of them do have genuine fear of being vaccinated. Like I said earlier, people now have access to various information on various social media platforms, mainstream platforms, or whatever it is that they choose to read and listen to. But many of them, I believe, have genuine fear of the vaccination process itself. People talk about, when we talk about vaccination, we talk about the side effects, like I said earlier, and some of them may have had adverse side effects with regards to being vaccinated. Some have real fear with the needle itself, Sharmila and Lynn. I know of people who have had to be given fear reduction techniques before they go for vaccination. But some are really apathetic because they feel that with or without vaccine, they are still able to continue their lives. They have not been affected by COVID-19 in any way whatsoever. And some of them have had COVID-19, and they believe they've had antibodies that can protect that immunity. Therefore, they feel that COVID-19 vaccination will not add value to their health. So it's a mental representation, again. It's a perception, attitudes concerning vaccination. And some of them are unrealistic. They have what we call unrealistic optimism. It will not happen to them. Therefore, they don't need to be vaccinated. So that's an array of reasons that could explain the reasons why people do not want to go for vaccination or are not ready yet to go for vaccination. They're not able to actually make it meaningful for them personally, at a personal level, on the reasons why vaccination is important to them.
So taking into account this variety of reasons, what do we need to do in order to kickstart, I think, the communication and the outreach to this particular group of people who are vaccine hesitant?
I think, like we mentioned earlier, I think it's important that we devise, we re-strategize our communication strategies, our health promotion strategies that take into account the psychology, the mental representation, the attitudes, what we call the subjective norms of Malaysians, you know, what you present to people who are highly educated, who have access to medical care, who are familiar with medical jargons, for instance. It's different from how you create narratives for the makcik and pakcik in the kampungs, for instance, you know. Again, it's not about undermining them because they can make, and many of them have gone for vaccination. But many Malaysians, if you look at, you know, if you read what is happening on social media, especially when it comes to health-associated products or behaviors, many turn to people they trust or people whom they see as role models, people they see as, you know, that who are similar to them. So that's why testimonials usually work for Malaysians. And although we regard them as non-scientific in a lot of ways, and it's true, but the techniques being used different things can be adopted to develop this trust, you know, so like it or not, you know, in our healthcare system, and things are changing, and I'm happy to see them because I do provide trainings to healthcare providers and healthcare professionals on ways to change communication and to be more patient-centric or person-centric compared to what we have been adopting before, and that is what we call active-passive model of communication. So I think that is one way of reaching out to people who are anti-vaxxers or vaccine hesitant, so that we are able to make this behavior a personally rewarding, personally motivating, personally meaningful for them. So one message does not fit all in this case.
Now, when it comes to the American context, a large part of vaccine hesitancy is tied to a lack of trust of the government, a distrust of authority. Do you think that there might be similar issues here?
I think it's similar in many countries. And unfortunately, again, this is a personal opinion and does not represent the organization for which I serve. You know, I think at the end of the day, many Malaysians' decisions or perceptions and decisions are very much influenced by the political party that they affiliate with, you know. So, but I believe that many Malaysians are more mature than that, because we have seen yesterday many people going to have themselves vaccinated. And I believe that, you know, they do not allow their political affiliations or, you know, trust with the government or lack of trust to influence the decisions. But I believe that for a portion of the Malaysian society, that could be, you know, a factor.
So, Dr. Hari, I think in closing, if there are people around us that are vaccine hesitant, our friends, our family members, what suggestions would you have in terms of talking to them about it to get them to consider getting vaccinated?
Okay. First and foremost, you need to be mentally prepared that you will meet resistance because, you know, you will actually be engaged in what we call, you know, in arguments. And there will be this me versus them. We will create in-group and out-group conversations. So we need to be mentally prepared that we are going to be meeting resistance. So I think what's important is that you, like the point that you highlighted earlier, listening to their own fears, listening to their own perceptions. So, you know, so if you want to register your mom for vaccination and you know that she doesn't like or she doesn't want to go for vaccination, instead of saying, mom, can we give vaccination? You have to go, you know, or else you will not do this, or else. So using threat or fear tactic will not work, you know. So I think what you can do is to actually give them space. And then sit down with them and actually say, mom, you know, I've seen some of my friends' parents being vaccinated. What are your thoughts about that? You know, what do you think can actually help you to consider going for vaccination? What are your fears? If you do go for vaccination, what do you think will happen to your health? you know, if you don't go for vaccination, you know, what do you think will happen to your health? So you ask all these questions to make them start thinking and contemplating about the reasons why they should go for vaccination. You know, I had a conversation with an elderly Machi recently, and she was like, you know, all against vaccination. And I said, you know, Machi, I'm just wondering if Katala, you know, you still want to go for Umrah, right? And if Saudi Arabia makes it compulsory for you to go have your vaccination, will you actually be doing it? And she actually started thinking about it. She says, you know, okay, so if a place that I really want to go to, the government there, you know, makes it compulsory, and it's someone that, a place that I trust, you know, it is meaningful to me, I need to consider that. So she actually stopped, and I think it's very important that she begin contemplating. Whether she will go or not is a different question, but at least it's very important to get them start thinking and contemplating about the benefits of you know, having vaccination given to them. But the benefits have to be meaningful for them at a personal level, not what authorities tell them.
Dr. Harry, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much again for the trust. It is a pleasure.
That was Dr. Hariati Sharima Abdul-Majid, health psychologist with Mercy Malaysia, speaking with us about vaccine hesitancy versus anti-vaccine. And let us know, are you someone who's been hesitant about the COVID-19 vaccine? We want to hear why. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.